Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. It's Echo Base number 96. We're recording this on, Tuesday, the 16th of May. May? Yeah, we're in May. Yeah, I got the date right.
Approaching that 40th anniversary.
I know. I'm so excited. I can't wait. We don't know what they're going to do yet, do we? We don't know if there's any big reveals. No. Can't they just tease something? What do you call Justin and, say, hey, dude, what are we going to get?
Hook us up.
Yeah, hook us up. We won't tell anybody. Honest, we don't do a show or anything. We won't tell anybody. We'll get out to you guys, don't worry. anyways, so I am joined tonight by, two co-hosts. I have Chris with me. Chris, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, okay. That's better than just, I'm okay. So, okay, you're good. I'm happy about that. And we do have a new co-host with us full-time now, Tim Qui-Gon. Tim is with us here. Tim, how are you tonight?
But full-time? When did this happen?
What? You didn't get the memo?
No.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah, there you go. We don't have to call you Qui-Gon on the show, do we?
No, Tim is fine.
Okay.
Tim is
fine.
Boy. I don't have to go for the formal thing. That's all right.
Mr. Qui-Gon. So Tim, thank you for joining us. We have you now full-time. To fill that last seat we have here in the cold Echo Base,
just so you know, it doesn't get any warmer.
Yeah,
it is chilly in here. I am kind of bundled up.
I'm excited to be here because we're hitting 90 this week here in Connecticut. So, I'm happy to be at Echo Base.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I am not a man built for 90 degrees. So,
No, I'm excited about joining you guys on the show. I think we're going to have a good time. Obviously, we've had a lot of discussions behind the scenes. There's a curtain for the fans that can't see it. There's a curtain.
Don't tell them about the curtain. We can't
go behind the curtain. There's no curtain.
No, there's no curtain.
Ignore that. There is absolutely no curtain.
Ignore the man behind the curtain. we had some great discussions down at Celebration Orlando, and I think he'd be a great fit into the show. So we're going to welcome your opinions and your voice to join Chris and I here. So
you say that now about my opinions. Just wait. Wait a minute. You didn't get enough over the whole Baywatch thing.
I forgot about the Baywatch thing. How did I forget about that? Oh, Lord. If there's a Baywatch Star Wars episode, we're in trouble.
No. So, Tim, I've got to ask, just as the new host, what is your unpopular Star Wars opinion?
An unpopular Star Wars opinion?
Yeah, like mine is The Phantom Menace is the best prequel, and I'd rather watch it than A New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
Wow. That takes it to a bit of an extreme. I do like Phantom Menace. I do enjoy it. I think it's a pretty good movie. It's a fun movie. I think it's a nice introduction to the prequels, and it brings in some cool characters. Obviously, there's one character in particular in there, Qui-Gon, who I do happen to appreciate.
I was going to say Jar Jar.
Well, that is probably my other unpopular opinion. Through the years, I have come to appreciate the value that Jar Jar brings to the films.
What?
And even though I know that it's not something that can actually happen or will occur within any of the storylines, but the Darth Jar Jar myth is something that I just love, and it makes me chuckle.
I guess chuckle's one thing you can say about it. Wow.
Come on, evil Sith Lord Jar Jar, who was actually behind the scenes and manipulating everything even more than Darth Plagueis. Come on, you gotta love that.
First Baywatch, now this. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a prequel hater, I've said that before, but I dislike Jar Jar. I mean, I dislike the humor element that he brings to it. It's not really valid humor, if you ask me, but that's just my opinion. So
I actually appreciate his humor more than R2s and 3POs in Geonosis and Attack of the Clones, which I thought was just
ridiculous. R2 into this. It's just 3PO. don't bring my little buddy down here. Come on. Wow. We're learning more things about Tim than I think I knew before. This may not last long. So, okay, let's get right into the discussion then, because I don't want to know any more about Tim right now. We're just going to gloss right over that and pretend some of this stuff never happened.
Well, so, thank you for joining me on my last episode of Echo Base.
Exactly. We're going to send him outside and close the blast doors, see if he survives the night. So let's go right into discussions. Tim, you brought this one up in our Slack channel, and I thought this was pretty interesting, although a little bit weird. There's been a significant increase in babies being named Rey and Kylo in 2016. And this is per the U.S. Social Security Administration. People name kids after things all the time in movies and movie stars and actors and characters. Rey and Kylo? I mean, what's your take on this, guys? I mean, is this just
weird? I don't completely understand. And reading the article on this, reading our source here, and they show kind of some of the statistics of these names. The name Rey, and spelled R-E-Y, has been used for years. 2015 saw a little bit of an uptick. 2016, it elevated quite a bit. And one of the most notable changes there was that prior to that uptick, Rey was primarily a boy's name. Then what they saw in late 2015 and going through 2016 was this being assigned to a lot of females. Kylo, prior to 2015, basically didn't exist. obviously we saw that come up a bit in 2015 and actually skyrocket in 2016. Personally, and this is just me, I'm okay with Rey. I would not name a human Kylo. That's just me. Maybe a dog.
Yeah, I might name the dog or the cat Kylo. You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
It's just not a very... I mean, and I'm not saying everybody's got to have a common name, because I like unusual names. I mean, I was even... Sure. My wife and I never had kids, but I was hoping for a girl at some point, and I was going to try to sneak the name Ayla into the pool of names. Not that I thought I was going to get it approved, but yeah. I was going to try to put that into the pool. Rey... is fine, but I mean, and I didn't realize R-E-Y was a boy's name before this. And this data that was in this article we're looking at here says there were no girls' names at all named Rey until 2016. So they were all boys before then. And I always thought Rey was, R-A-Y. I didn't realize there was an alternate spelling of R-E-Y. So that's kind of bizarre. And I don't knock anybody for wanting to name their child something that they love from a movie or anything. I do kind of sometimes question a name if it's going to become a thing, I guess you'd say, and make the child's rearing harder. I mean, we've all known people with strange names in school that you're like, why did your parents name you that? So that's just begging for you to be made fun of or this kind of stuff. I mean, growing up in my town, my teachers went through a list of names that she had heard that kids had over the years, and she was just shaking her head. There was a Snow White going through our school.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But the worst one, there was a brother and sister. Their last name was Rabbit.
Oh, no.
His name was Peter. Her name was Bunny. And I'm just going, how do you go to a job interview down the road saying, hi, I'm Peter Rabbit? I mean, I just don't see how that happens. But likewise, how do you go into a job interview and say, hi, I'm Kylo? I mean, maybe a middle name, sure. But, I mean, I just don't see some of these names. I mean, Rey is not that out of this world that you're going to be like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Sure.
But, yeah, Kylo, I mean... One of our Patreon donors and Slack members has a child named Ezra, which I think is fine. That doesn't send up any red flags going, ooh, that's kind of weird. you know.
No, and Ezra is a biblical name, exactly, I believe. So, yep, I mean, it's something, that's nice been around unique for a names long time.
That, you know, there's a lot of Johns in the world. There's a lot of Sarahs in the world. You know, and names kind of grow in popularity and then wane off. But, you know, having one that's kind of unique that's not everywhere is nice. But when they're so far out there that they're not anywhere, that does lead me to be a little bit, and that's kind of suspect. But
yeah, I'm personally not sold on Kylo. It's not something I would, you know, ever name my kid. Yeah, that's me.
I think it's dumb.
Chris isn't holding any punches back. He's just going to let him have it right out of the top.
Yeah.
Chris at randomchatter.com. Is that what it is?
That is my address. I think naming your kid Kylo is dumb. If you want to name your dog or your cat Kylo, have at it. But your kid, no. Rey, on the other hand, I love that. So I would not be opposed to naming my child Rey. Or putting it in like the middle name. Yeah. Although it's certainly not the worst. Like, Kylo is definitely not the worst name I've heard over the years. My personal favorite is Arangelo.
Arangelo, wow.
Arangelo. You know how it's spelled?
I don't even want to guess. Wow. How do you spell Arangelo?
Orange Jello.
Wow.
It's their name was literally Orange Jello, but it was combined, so it was Arangelo.
Huh.
Yep. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, parents can be cruel, and you've got to have this name growing up. I mean, that's just wow.
I mean, I thought I was bad because I go by my middle name, not my first name. So that's where Christopher comes from. And I thought I was had a tough life growing up because everyone would call me by my first name, and I would have to say, no, I don't go by that. I go by Chris. Or Christopher. So.
Well, it's like the old Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A Boy Named Kylo is going to be the next.
Exactly. Great. Yeah, he's. Yeah. That's going to be. Yeah, I don't know how you go through life with a name like that. That's going to be tough.
And if you want a name like. I'm assuming this is going for mainly boys, but if you are naming your kid after a Star Wars character, at least make it something that sounds not like it came out straight out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
No, something exactly. That can blend in a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you know, even kids named Luke, I mean, when I hear the name Luke, I always think of Star Wars. I mean, that, you know,
you
just can't get away from that. I mean,
my beagle is named Luke.
Oh, there you go.
I feel like Aunt Beru every time I call him.
Luke, I think that Luke. I'm going to have a child, and if it's a boy or girl, I don't care. I'm going to name them Obi-Wan.
I thought you were going to say Gonk.
No, but that would be a great pet name.
It would be.
Mm-hmm.
This is my little beagle Gonk.
Yep.
Oh boy. Okay, well, moving right along. Battlefront 2 trailer was released, a full length trailer. Did you guys have a chance to check this out?
It's very cool.
I am excited. I mean, you know, I'm tempering that because I was excited when the first Battlefront came out, but
weren't we all? Lou?
I mean, like I said before, I mean, I bought my PS4 because of that game. I mean, I bought the Star Wars edition because of that game. Mm-hmm. I'm happy I have the Star Wars edition, but I don't play the game anymore. So you know, the Foley trailer looks really awesome. Tim, as you said before we started recording, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, what the gameplay is going to be like because so much of the trailer is cinematics versus real gameplay. But it does look really cool. It does give you the feel of the fact that we're going to get a story mode now, which, you know, we've all been dying for. You know, we're getting land, air, and space environments, which we did not get in the first one. It's covering the prequel trilogy, the original trilogy, and... What do we have there?
The sequel trilogy.
Oh, I was drawing a blank there. Sorry about that. So, you know, it's going to bring a little bit of everything into it, which does seem really cool. The fact that you get to play in the Star Wars universe and play in the environment and play through missions, I think, is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I really, really missed about the first one. I didn't get to play a mission.
Now, I'd like to get your guys' opinion, since we were all at Celebration. This trailer actually dropped in the middle of Celebration, originally. They had the panel for it and everything. I feel like in Anaheim, everyone was talking about Battlefront. They had the interactive gameplay thing that they were showing people on the floor. I don't know if you could play it or not, but they at least had that thing where you could go in and set like you're in the middle of some kind of briefing, and they would tell you all about the game. They had the panel. They had people wearing T-shirts. It was a big thing. In Orlando, not so much, or at least if people were talking about it, it was on the other side of the convention hall where I was, apparently, right, all weekend, because I remember where the panel, like when the panel happened, but aside from that, I didn't hear anybody talking about it. There were no shirts.
Well, I mean, you know, in Anaheim, in Anaheim, you're right, Chris, they made a huge splash about this because this was the first of the new games coming out that were going to be canon games. And they had that briefing room thing was actually the briefing room on Home One they recreated for Celebration. So you had to sit in there and sit in the Home One briefing room they had in the movies and feel like you were part of it, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool.
I don't know if they're just not – they didn't go as much with this one because, A, it's not a brand new, you know, first of the new games coming out, which Battlefront was really the first of the new big games coming out after the takeover from Disney. Mm-hmm. But also it's part two. It's not, you know, a brand new thing. So that makes a little difference in how you promote it as well. And also, I mean, the first one was a tie in with the movie too, which they're not tying this one in with the movie. So we don't have to worry about a deadline that's not their own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing they fell back on for their own excuses was the fact that, you know, we had to have this ready for a date that was not our date given, you know, that we made up ourselves. It was a date that was given to us, so they had this artificial deadline put on themselves. And that's tough for any studio to do something where you're faced with, you know, not a deadline of your own timeline, but you're trying to meet someone else's expectations.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it's still, and I'll tell you, when we were there, it didn't strike me. But now that Chris has mentioned it, it really does stand out to me that EA and or DICE, since they're both the ones directly affiliated with Battlefront, really didn't have much of a presence at Celebration Orlando.
No, they really didn't. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm excited for this. I think that it's going to be good. We just got to wait and see when we get this, if it lives up to all the hype. I mean, they're already saying it's going to be larger than Battlefront was at launch. There's going to be more to it. There's more things finished to be put into the game. And, again, it's because they're not trying to hit a deadline imposed on them. They're setting their own deadline that we are going to be done by this time frame, and we're going to put the game out at that point.
Yeah.
So...
I'm excited about it. It looks like they really they have both reimagined the game itself. And again, we're going by what's seems to largely be a cinematic trailer, so it's kind of hard to tell what the gameplay will actually look like. But hopefully the cinematics match up to some extent what the gameplay is in terms of the environments and some of the flow and maybe some of the storylines. You know, so they've certainly reimagined things. They have hopefully listened to a lot of the feedback that they got from the first Battlefront game, you know, which the first Battlefront game was visually a beautiful game. The gameplay of it was not that great. There were a lot of issues with that. So hopefully they've addressed those with this. And I do like, you know, if you watch this new trailer, there's kind of the story that's woven through this trailer. They don't directly mention it, but it is Inferno Squad, which then also has this tie-in with the upcoming book that's coming out by Christy Golden. It's coming out the end of July on Inferno Squad, which I believe the novel is set immediately after Rogue One, with the premise being that Inferno Squad is like, you know, some type of elite group of stormtroopers or some other such, you know, special forces type of thing within the Empire, to go out and hunt down the remnants of Saw Gerrera's group.
Right. Yeah, this does look really good, and if it does tie in, if there's any part of that in the game, I'm excited. I mean, the write-up on StarWars.com says, you know, the Rebellion has heroes like Jyn Erso and Luke Skywalker, but the Empire has Inferno Squad. And it's like, okay, if they're putting them on that level, this is going to be some good stuff. And if that translates into the game, I'm excited about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I got to say, I was a huge, huge player of the original Battlefront games. I love them. I love the online team playing experience was great. And unfortunately, when those, you know, when the servers were unplugged and the lights turned off, that was a very sad day. But it's a game, particularly the first Battlefront, the original first Battlefront, is a game that, well, it's not on my new laptop because it's new and I just hadn't loaded it up in there. But my old laptop, you know, the game was there. And once in a while, I would just, you know, start playing it. Because even the single player was just fun. It was just this, you know, great big shoot 'em up type of game that I never really got old of. It never really got old for me. So I'm hoping that the new Battlefront, while obviously being different in scope from that, I'm hoping that it's still going to be just a good, fun game to play.
That's what we're hoping for, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So you guys are aware of this worldwide cyber attack going on right now, this WannaCry ransomware that's out there?
Yeah, big news on it.
So you guys may wonder why we're talking about this on Echo Base.
Have the Rebel computer systems been hacked? Has R2 been hacked?
R2 has been hacked. He is now under the WannaCry ransomware. We had to pay them 300 Bitcoin to get R2 back.
That is funny. Now, that's what happened to him in The Force Awakens. He got hacked.
he was just laying there dormant. Yeah. Now, if it was 3PO, okay, hey. You know what? I don't have 300 Bitcoins. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, so wait a minute. See, I'm here. You guys told me you wanted me to talk about Patreon in the closing. So this is what we have to do. We have to gin up a Patreon campaign to be able to pay the Bitcoin ransom for R2.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah. Oh boy. Well, the basic premise of this WannaCry ransomware virus is it infects your computer. It locks your files, encrypts them, and it will delete them if you try to recover them without paying this Bitcoin ransom to, you know, whoever the writers of this virus are. This isn't the first time something like this has happened, but this has been the biggest, most widespread event of its kind lately. So it's over 150 countries now, and it was originally rumored that the Last Jedi movie had been pirated, and it was going to be held for ransom until the money was paid to them. So, you know, that's kind of scary when you see that movies are being taken, you know, wholesale from distributors and being released if they don't pay a ransom.
Yeah. Well, is it hackers got, last year, the year before, into Sony, correct?
I think it was Sony, yep.
Yeah. And in this case, it's Disney. I mean, these are significant companies, and it's cybersecurity is a huge thing.
It is, and especially when movies are all, they're now digital. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There is a digital copy of this movie floating around in whatever format it is right now out there. And it does turn out that, I guess, The Last Jedi wasn't pirated, so it's not out there. In fact, Hollywood Reporter is claiming that the information is false. It's speculated that Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, may be the movie that's at risk right now, which is another Disney movie, of course.
Disney apparently has said that they have had one of their movies pirated, but they actually have not officially said what film it is.
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Certainly.
First of all, there was no way it was Star Wars because that movie is nowhere near being completed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, right. it probably obviously has like a work print stuff.
Yeah, there is a print of it now there somewhere, right?
It's, you know, it still has to go through editing and music and effects and all of that stuff. So
sure,
it'd be smart to, if you like, you would actually have it, and just because obviously you know that's something that people would watch regardless of whether or not it's finished. But Pirates of the Caribbean that comes out this month, like Disney, and you're holding that for ransom, and you're like, well, we're just going to put the first 5 minutes up and then 20-minute increments if you don't release it. Okay, then we're just not going to pay you because the movie comes out in a month, or less than a month.
Yeah, but how much revenue would they lose, though, if the movie got released a month early from hackers? I mean, there'd be a lot of revenue lost. I mean, I don't know how to quantify that, but I mean, I'm sure there would be a lot fewer video, you know, fewer people going to the movies to see it.
I disagree because, I mean, you're right. There would probably be, they would probably lose money, but it's such a huge franchise that a lot of people that are going to see this probably, one, have no idea where to acquire pirated movies. And if they do, they're not going to do it. Because it's more of like a family type of film, I think, and you're not going to have, you know, your 8-year-old kid that you're going to take to see Pirates go on his computer and download it because he probably has no idea how.
True.
I'd be very upset if he did. I'd be very worried if he did, but it just, like, I don't get this. It's like I see why it's a problem. But for a movie that comes out in 2 weeks, or not even 2 weeks, like 10 days from now, I think it comes out Memorial Day weekend. It's not smart on the hacker's part, and I don't blame Disney for not paying it. I mean, it's probably like the money that they would pay to the ransom people to get their movie back is probably somewhere close to what they would lose, honestly. So. You know, you're going to lose money either way, so might as well do it in the quick way and say, hey, if you go see this movie, thanks for your support. You know, you're not contributing to Pirates.
Sure. Well, and it's not like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie is going to have some big reveal. At Last Jedi, we expect, you know, hey, there's plenty of speculation on some of the big reveals that we can expect from that movie. And obviously we have a really close following, which is why we're here talking about this in terms of Star Wars films. And while there's obviously a lot of fans also of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, I don't think that they're, you know, really as hardcore as a lot of the Star Wars fans are. So I don't think that they're,
They're not,
salivating right. over, oh my gosh, what's going to be revealed in Dead Men Tell No Tales. No, they're fun movies. They're great movies to watch. It's going to be a good time. But yeah, really, what's the value of some kind of pirated release?
Okay, well, let's transfer this into what we're talking about here, Star Wars. Say this did get pirated and we were a month out from the release of The Last Jedi. What kind of impact would that have on the revenue of The Last Jedi?
I don't think the revenue for Last Jedi would be affected. as much as one would think, just because it's still going to make a load of money. And even the hit that it would take is probably not enough to be like to cause concern, because you know good and well they're going to make their money back. It's not going to bomb. Even if, you know, it would leak, you're still going to have people going to see it in the theater regardless. I mean, how many times did you hear people say, oh, I saw The Force Awakens or Rogue One X amount of times in theaters? That's something that Star Wars is able to do because we have that fan following. Mm-hmm. Whereas the vast majority of movies don't. Once you see it once, you might go see it again if you really like it, or if your friend drags you to it. But
yeah, but this is a prime example of what that could impact this movie on. You're saying a lot of the revenue is coming from multiple viewings in the theaters, which I think I agree with you, Chris. But look at it this way: if you could, you know, if you want to see the movie three or four times, and it's only available in theaters, you've got to go to the theater to see it three or four times. If you're going to see it at least once in the theaters, you want that big screen experience, and then it's available on my computer that I downloaded off the internet, I can watch it four or five other times at home. I don't care about the theater experience anymore. So
but
now
I mean,
you've lost my other five viewings.
Yeah, but you know, I think that with Star Wars, if that would happen, I think that Disney and Lucasfilm would do enough to really punish people that would download like legit copies, like not the handheld things, but like legit full resolution, high res copies of it. I think that they would find a way to shut down sites that would have it, or that would have people, you know, doing it with torrents and stuff. I would imagine that, you know, because Disney and Lucasfilm are such high profile companies, and they have such a big hand in the film and television business, that they would have the capabilities of doing that. I think it would hurt, but you know, it people want, when they think about Star Wars, especially if they're like, no hardcore fan of Star Wars will download it on their computer and just watch it on their computer or, you know, their TV. They will go see the movie regardless.
Right, once in the theater, right.
Yeah,
but if I could get a copy of it on my computer, you know, not that I would, not that I ever would do that, but, you know, if one appeared on my computer to watch, sure, I'd watch it.
Yeah, they may lose some of that repeat viewing revenue, which certainly that obviously doesn't replace the theater experience. A lot of people may choose to do it just because it's quick and convenient. They can watch it at their own pace, et cetera, et cetera. But also consider what it might do for things like the big reveals. You know, they're going to reveal in Last Jedi that, you know, Rey's parentage is her actual last name is Binks, and you know, once that gets out to the world, you know, that's gonna like be a crushing weight on the fandom.
Tim, you can't just slide that in. You can't just slide that in there without having any repercussions. You know, I mean,
slide what in? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not even gonna mention it again because I don't want to sully my name by saying that.
My give up.
Oh, Lord. Good Lord. Oh.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned about spoilers than and I think, honestly, Disney would be a little bit more concerned about spoilers than the full plot of the movie leaking in that fashion than losing money. I mean, how much did Force Awakens make? Like 400 billion or 100 billion, 400 billion. I don't know.
A lot.
Yeah. But like $100 million for a Star Wars movie isn't going to make or break it.
Just extra change. You're right. You're right. But still
tell that to Disney.
Well, yeah, they would probably strongly disagree. Well, we need that extra $100 million to fund all of our other projects. Yeah, yeah, Disney, you're good job. You convinced me.
They do. They need the money to make more movies. I mean, you know, I'm okay with that.
Hey, maybe if the Last Jedi gets pirated and it makes $100 million less, that means we won't get the Han Solo movie, which will be fine by me.
Wow. Chris is spinning this as if it's pirated, you won't have to watch the Han Solo movie. Wow, that's, yes. That's ruthless, Chris.
Or better yet, maybe they'll hold off on some of the terrible novels that are coming out.
Oh, ouch. My goodness, Chris.
Ouch.
Wow.
You know I had to get a novel joke in there.
Remember, that's Chris at randomchatter.com.
Or we could all luck out, and instead of the Han Solo film, they're going to release a Jar Jar Binks movie.
Oh, my God.
I'd watch that.
Oh, my God. What is going on here?
You know what? I would read a Jar Jar Binks novel. That's what we need. A Jar Jar Binks origin story. Find out what really happened to get him banned from the Gungan city.
Wait, is this working? Can you guys hear me? Wow. Jar Jar movie. Oh my God. A book. What else does the show notes have here?
The problem is that I'm so tired tonight that I don't realize the repercussions that are going to come from this discussion.
We have to quickly get Tim an email address that we can get mail sent to Tim directly.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Okay. Yeah. Well, on that note, I'm a little worried about going into this last topic. Let's move on to the last discussion point we have here. So Revenge of the Sith, which we all love, of course, prequel movie. It was a good prequel movie. Chris,
speaking of bad movies,
it was okay.
I was waiting to go with Chris to that.
Hey, it's not the worst prequel.
No, definitely not.
Has one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah, very good soundtrack.
It's the movie that we all wanted, but we wanted that to be two movies. We wanted more story out of that one. But anyways, so originally, you know, there was a different path for Padme in this movie, which maybe would have made it better. Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. So concept artist Ian McCraig shared that Lucas's early draft had Padme realized Anakin's path earlier and rallied support from the Separatists to form a rebel alliance against the impending Empire. So this would have gave a jump start to the alliance much earlier, really, in this version of the movie. Do you guys think that would have been an improvement over what we got? Would it have changed the dynamic flow of the movie?
Tim, I'll let you go first.
You know, I'm not so sure that it would have changed the movie so much, because what they did say in this article that I do recall was that still in the end, Padme's fate was still Padme's fate, and that was still the same. But adding this element to the film, I think it actually might have been a confusing thing. To a certain extent, and yeah, I don't think it would have contributed to the film. Now, what I do find interesting is that it would have contributed to the overall story and linking a little bit more closely the Separatist movement to the Rebel Alliance, because there did end up being obviously a lot of similarity between the two, and a lot of the same forces and a lot of the same military material and those such things. So that would have built that bridge a little bit more, but that would have been, you know, very, very macro level.
So I want to make sure I'm getting this correctly. Right before the Republic turns into the Empire, you're saying that Padme would take some members of the Separatists and make that the Rebel Alliance.
Well, I think it's worth saying.
Yep.
Yeah, not necessarily making it the Rebel Alliance, but I think what McCraig was talking about here was Padme saying, look, things are going to get worse with the Republic and with Palpatine, and things are going to go very bad, and we need to really pull together against this evil that's happening. I'm not so sure, obviously, how they would have done it. There wasn't a lot of detail provided, but it's just it just makes for some interesting thought.
Mm. Well, I mean, it would change one thing in the fact that, you know, in the movie we don't get that foresight of what's going to happen until he makes that speech in the Senate. You know, in here, you know, Padme's line of saying, "So this is how liberty dies," with thunderous applause.
Yes.
You know, nobody realized what was going on until that point. And that's kind of the magic of what Palpatine did as far as pulling the strings and putting everything in place to make everything happen the way he wanted it to. You know, if she had realized that earlier, you know, what else would have changed in the story? I mean, maybe she couldn't do anything about it, but she may have just been able to gather support earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think that would have changed the dynamic too, because then you would have had, you know, the Separatists were still part of the Senate, so, you know, they were at least they had an impact, because there were some separate, you know, some governing bodies that were in there that had, you know, members still represented in the Senate.
Yeah.
If they were swayed to do something different, you wouldn't have had that huge uproar of approval when Palpatine declares it the first Galactic Empire.
Right.
I think it would have been nice. I mean, I was always a little upset that the deleted scene of them kind of quote unquote forming the rebellion was not included. I believe Padme was involved with that, with Mon Mothma and Bail Organa and some other people. I think she was included in that, but
I
wish this would have happened, because in hindsight, especially with the sequel trilogy, we see Leia kind of running things with the Resistance. So it would have been a nice contrast from the prequel trilogy to the sequel trilogy. And I do wish this was a thing. I quite like the idea.
Yeah, yeah. I think it could have been really neat. It might be. There are some people who very much don't like the political aspects to the movies. I do. I love them. I really, really appreciate what they do with it. Something like this could have made it even a little bit more heavy-handed, so it might have turned some people off. And yeah, I completely agree with you, Chris, that it really helps to build a bridge between and amongst all these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does, I don't know, I think it might bring it on too early, though, because if you think about the timing of how the rebellion went, I mean, the rebellion smoldered for a long time.
Yes.
Before really making itself known. You know, I get the impression that even in, you know, Rogue One, when we're, you know, nearing the beginning of A New Hope, the rebellion really wasn't that widespread or that well, you know, planned out, maybe. They were still kind of lurking in the shadows, and they really weren't their own real thing yet. To have...
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, to have the seeds planted that much earlier, you know, 20 years earlier, I mean, does that make sense?
Not with the current movies. I think that... I mean, we've seen it in the Rebels show, too.
Yes.
I think that if the rebellion had started earlier, as far back as Episode 3, I mean, that's 15 years of buildup. And, I mean, how long did it take Palpatine to put his plan into, to make it come full circle? I mean, that wasn't just a couple years thing. It took a while for him to finally be able to do what he needed to do and overtake
you would, you
an
would
entire
know platform. More if you read Plagueis.
True.
I'm just saying.
That is
one of the greatest Star Wars novels ever written.
You would really enjoy that, Chris.
But yeah, I think that if this had played out the way that
was originally going to happen in episode 3, and assuming that we still get Rebels and Rogue One, it kind of would be told in a different way, I guess. But then again, you always have to remember that A New Hope starts with the Rebellion's just won its first victory against the Empire, so I guess I can kind of see why this idea was scrapped.
Hmm.
And the Rebellion didn't start until much later, after Revenge of the Sith. But I'm personally more interested in the other thing that was revealed by this concept artist about Padme and Anakin on Mustafar.
Mm-hmm. And I think this could be good in the fact that a lot of people complain that, you know, the whole whininess of Padme about, you know, oh, you're breaking my heart, it didn't play as well as it could have. And this may have been a big addition to that if we had a good director getting a good performance out of the actress. But, Chris, why don't you elaborate on what you're alluding to there about what she was possibly going to do in this other version?
So the draft said that Padme would kind of find a, not really find out directly, but have really hints and get a basic understanding about what is happening to Anakin, and that he's turning dark, and that you know, he's basically turning into a monster. And she would go to Mustafar just like usual. Obi-Wan would stow away on the ship, and she would have like a knife or something with her, and go up to hug Anakin and have like the knife right up to his neck and would kill him, but she's not able to do it because she loves him so much, despite the fact that he's become like this really evil, this evil person. And that kind of sums up her love. And then I don't know if she would have, there was no other information, so I don't know how she would have died per se, but it would have been interesting. Let's say she had the knife, she couldn't do it. Well, then Anakin, like, cut her or something. Or better yet, cut her arm off, because that's just what we need, another limb coming off in Star Wars. But, yeah, or, like, injuring her, not, well, you know, in a way that is not immediately fatal, but turns out to be fatal because, you know, she goes and she has her two kids, but she ends up dying as a result of the injuries Anakin put on her. And it would make that scene a lot more, it would work a lot better. I know people hate the broken heart thing. Personally, I think that is BS. I am more with the theory that Palpatine siphoned pretty much the life energy from Padme and gave it to Anakin or Vader. That's my theory that I subscribe to.
See, I like the broken heart story.
I'm curious why.
I don't know. I just thought it played really well in the movie. I thought that, you know, she died of a broken heart. She died because, you know, her love was so strong. I think it played into the whole emotional / mystical side of the whole, you know, chosen one thing. I thought it just worked really well.
See, I sort of agree with you. I just think the way that it was presented and the execution was just very, very bland. And like the droid saying, "Oh, medically there's nothing wrong with her, but right, she just lost the will to live." Like, I could like go lose the will to live tomorrow, but I'm not going to die.
Yeah,
I don't want to live anymore, but I have nothing wrong with me to cause me to die. So
I think that's what a lot of the prequels suffered from, though, was just execution. I think that's, you hit it right in the head. Not just in that one thing, but in a lot of things. I mean, in the acting and in the way these things were delivered and the way lines were delivered. You know, you can kind of point that back to the director in a lot of cases.
I just really like this other idea. And, you know, it could be that Lucas decided not to do this, because I'm assuming all of this is true, and that by the end he had no way for Padme to actually die. So, like, you know, it came the time to film and make the final draft, and he's like, wait a minute, I took away the whole knife thing, so now Anakin can't physically kill her. I don't want to show him, you know, you can't stab her with a lightsaber because, you know, she has to have the kid somehow. Right. So, yeah, maybe the whole lose the will to live thing is just, it was a thing that, well, they had literally nothing else to do because their original plan was cut and there was nothing else. Like, they couldn't change the entire Mustafar scene.
No, but she could have been killed just by the choking. I mean,
yeah, and I personally think that should have been, like, you know, damage some kind of, like, something in the neck.
Put her into a comb or something, or, yeah.
Yeah, that is enough for her to have a baby, but she dies as a result.
Yeah, actually give something medically wrong with her that... You know, there is also that psychological aspect of her losing the will to live. So her body, she's no longer fighting for it. Yeah. And once those babies are out of her, there's nothing left for her.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, I guess it's all a moot point because we're not going to get that.
Yeah.
But no, it's good to speculate. I like this kind of speculation because it does, you know, raise thoughts of what could have been, what could have been better about these things, and would this have worked, would it not have worked, and yeah.
And I want to reiterate the point that we're not trying to sit here and bash prequels, because, I mean...
No.
I feel like too often in the Star Wars fandom, if you say one little negative thing about the prequel, then you get called a prequel hater, or if you say something really positive about the prequels... And you refuse to accept any kind of, you know, obvious criticism when it comes to filmmaking, then you're just you're a prequel lover, and then you don't like you.
Right. Yeah, you're an apologist. You're, and
yeah. And I mean, it doesn't hurt to sit and talk about what can make a movie better. I mean, I can tell you plenty of things that can make the original trilogy better. I can tell you things that can make TFA and Rogue One better. Lord knows I could sit and write a book about how you can make the books better.
Oh, Chris, writing a book, I don't know. But then nobody would read it.
No one would read it, no.
More Jar Jar.
No, you know. No. Oh, God. On that note, we're going to call it a night, I think. Yeah, Tim and his Jar Jar, Jar Jar Baywatch. That's what we're going to get. We're going to get a Jar Jar Baywatch movie.
I think that should be the title of this episode, Jar Jar Baywatch.
Jar Jar Baywatch. There we go. I like that. We can do that. And we have a show title.
There it is.
Oh, boy. Well, if you have any feedback for us, or if you want to just berate Tim a little bit, you know, send us your email at echobase@randomchatter.com. Until we get a Tim email address, we'll have to go by that. So just send those in. We'll make sure Tim reads them. Maybe his penance will be to read them on the episode next time around.
I will read all of them aloud.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so if you do have any feedback for us on anything besides Tim and his fetish with Jar Jar and Baywatch, please send us an email at echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also contact us online. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The Twitter account for this show is at Echobase Podcast. The network Twitter is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at The Curse of Chris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
It's just my name. It's at Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki.
And Tim, if people want to talk to you and tell you how right you are about Jar Jar or how wrong you are about Jar Jar, how can they find you on Twitter?
Come to me, my people. Let's talk Jar Jar. That is at Qui-Gon Tim with two M's.
And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com.
Hey, I'm up, huh?
Yes, you are. This is all you.
All right, look, here's the deal. We like to do these things. We do good things. You got to spread the word. You got to be able to give us some support here. If I'm looking for a new podcast on whatever topic, Gungans maybe, you know, I'm going to go to iTunes, or I'm going to go to Stitcher, I'm going to go to, you know, whatever else is out there for podcasts. I'm going to do a search, and I'm going to, it's going to come up with the results, and I'm going to look at the ratings and reviews that people leave. Those things kind of mean a lot. Like, I'm a huge, huge user of, you know, these type of, you know, crowdsourced review things, like Yelp and that kind of stuff. Okay. So same deal with iTunes or Stitcher. And I know I'm going way longer than Lou and Chris want me to on this whole thing. And I'm loving every moment of it. You go into these things and leave reviews. Leave reviews for people who have never heard of us before. Maybe they have, but they kind of want to know more. And just talk about all the cool stuff that we do. If you're a Jar Jar supporter, throw it in there. That's okay. That's not going to turn anyone off. Tell your friends about us. You're a Star Wars fan. You probably have friends who are Star Wars fans. If you don't, you need to find new friends. So it's very simple. But tell your friends about us and about the stuff that we do. If it's just Echo Base, that's really cool. If you listen to the other Random Chatter shows, which you should be, I don't know why you really wouldn't. You don't have to listen to all of them, but listen to some. That's a good thing. Tell your friends about the stuff that we do. Now, here's the thing. If you really like what we do, are you ready for Lou and Chris to cringe? Give us money.
Wow.
It's you can go to patreon.com/randomchatter. You can give donations as what, little as a dollar, guys?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Little as a dollar, high as whatever, $1 million is fine. And this is what helps the network to stay alive. We got to pay for server space. You know, we got to pay for sometimes some recording equipment, that kind of stuff. This is the stuff that keeps us alive and going and continues to allow us to do cool things. So if you like what we do, again, throw a dollar, throw $1 million, whatever you can afford. Even something in the middle, I guess, if you have to. But please do that. And that's it. That's all I got.
Wow.
That was a really hardcore pitch, Dan.
That was, yeah.
I think I should, like, donate my own dollar or something after that.
You should. And I'm going to see if Lou actually, if either one of you edits that out.
What Tim doesn't know is that he may not appear in this episode at all.
Yeah, it might just be like silence on, you know, for a few minutes at a time, and then me talking and then Lou, and then silence again.
Yeah, could happen.
So last but not least, the music that you hear in this podcast is the Force Theme by Scandroid and the Imperial March by Cell Dweller. Both of those tracks were actually Scandroid and Cell Dweller is the same person, Clayton. He just has different projects. So if you like both of those, then you should probably check out the other things that he does. And also listen to the interview that we had of him on Cordcast.
Right.
Last year. So
Chris cross promoting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely good stuff. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining me tonight. I enjoyed having both of you on. Chris, we'll see you again next time. And Tim, I'm glad it was your last episode. Well, you know, we'll see what we can do for you later on. Appreciate you guys both being here, and we will bring you more Star Wars goodness in about a week.
Awesome.